from the commission combined with public pressure, which is building, that we can bring justice to this family and stop these killings on the high seas.
You filed the first formal complaint. Do you expect others to follow?
Oh, yes, we do, of course. And, you know, again, the Colombian government is reaching out, trying to find more families, and I am happy to take on more cases. I think this is one of the most significant human rights cases right now, certainly in the hemisphere. I mean, because it's not just about, well, killings, but it's about the rule of law. You know, it's about the idea that that a government like the United States could just murder people based on mere accusations. As I say, it's no different than, you know, going down the street here in Pittsburgh and the cops saying, oh, I think that guy's dealing in drugs, and just blowing that person's brains out. No
Final
one
question.
Thinks that's correct.
We just have 10 seconds. Do you hold out hope for the Senate investigation, both Republican and Democrat, raising serious questions about these bombings? 5 seconds.
I am at least hopeful, Amy. Again, I think the tide is turning against these killings. The American public is disgusted by them. So, yeah,
we're going to have to leave
hope.
It there. Thank you so Thank much, you. Dan Kovalik, international human rights attorney. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through our public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to our KBOO Fights Back campaign. Help KBOO reach our $75,000 goal by December 31st so we can bring you another great year of cutting-edge radio made by you, for you. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to contribute today.
Is autism an epidemic? Or is it a superpower? Are you a little bit on the spectrum? Or are you hashtag actually autistic? I'm Carrie Stewart Lingle, host of NeuroEmergent. Join me from 11 a.m. to noon on the fourth Wednesday of every month to explore neurodiversity in the Pacific Northwest and beyond, right here on KBOO Community Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Genius Box. I'm Althea.
I'm Reed. Ooh.
We are delighted to be here with you this morning. We've got a great show ahead. Would you agree?
Well,
it's
an unscripted
yet.
Show. I'll just be. So I hate to assume the best. I'd rather assume the worst and then be excited by the best.
Right. And that's what the show is all about. It's about not expecting the best for yourself.
It's about
betting on the worst. Before we get into
it's about betting. Yeah.
It's
about offering real legal and financial advice that you can take to the bank or to the law office, depending on.
Yeah. And I'm going those places pretty often. So it's good to kind of get set here. No, this is a talk radio show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The first half of the show, we're going to be talking about some local headlines. In the second half of the show, that's when we open up our phone lines. You can give us a call. We're going to be talking about Portland's newly nominated potential new city administrator.
Potential.
It hasn't quite happened yet.
Greeley zone.
Yes, but we're going to talk about Greeley, Colorado to Portland. The new guy.
The Greeley to Portland pipeline.
The Greeley to Portland pipeline, as of yet undiscovered and unbuilt, I'm pretty sure.
Just using gravitational forces, it makes sense.
You
go downhill. Is that applying gravity?
Everything that's south of here is downhill of here.
No, but it's up. It's south, but it's down, but up.
Right.
Confusingly.
I mean, once they make a, you know, like a map that's like, you know, like a globe, I feel like that would really make me understand
a public figure that. Topographical map.
Something like that. Before we get too far into it,
I'm also loving this. I'm loving this bubblegum pop that's coming through that the headphone lines are capturing. This one's just for the host, folks. You will not understand what I'm talking about.
And perhaps a little too upbeat. It's because we're listening. We're not even really listening to it. Can you hear me? I can kind of hear you.
I can hear you because
we're
in the same room.
Man,
just to
I
kind of peer behind the veil. Yeah, Althea's.
Well, we're in the box. Genius box.
Althea,
did we say the name of the show? I don't know if I did.
You did say the name of the show.
Right.
Yeah,
I blacked out.
But it's always good to everything in threes. So we'll say genius box again.
Genius box. Yeah. And then we appear.
Oh. We got a mirror as well, folks, and so we're looking into it.
Yeah. Actually, putting a mirror on the other side of the table so it looks like there's four hosts, I feel like that'd be cool.
Yeah, and then waiting to hear from your mirror reflection of yourself.
What do you think, Althea, who's like me but a little bit off and reflected in exact opposites?
Oh, funhouse
mirror, self
Althea.
Is evil?
My mirror self?
Yeah.
Well, if you go through the Evil Dead Ash looking at himself in the mirror... Mm-hmm. Cosmology of mirror selves, then they're always evil and they're always trying to poke you in the eyes.
Oh boy. But the eyes are how I see the mirror self, so it feels like those are valuable in the situation.
No, I think whenever I look at my mirror self, I'm struck by the blue eyes. Kind blue eyes.
I'm too struck by my own beauty to consider any sort of malice.
That face that you just can't say no to.
Your own face.
My own
totally.
Face.
We have some headlines we're going to get into. Before we do that, I want to mention that this is KBOO's end of year membership drive. KBOO Fights Back is how we're talking about it. We're fighting the media zillas. We're creating a place where people can fight back. If you want to support
us. We should have a little punching, like one of those breakaway like plywood boards that you can punch through.
Hey, Nate, can you look for a punch sound effect? I'd love to get a punch sound effect in here in a little bit. If you want to support us.
I got one. Glug, 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 glug.
I don't think that's
wrong punch.
Oh, I get it. He's on it this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, kboo.fm/give. You can text the word kboo to 44321. You can also send us a check, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. We very much appreciate everybody who supports us. I'm told we have the sound effect for KBOO Fights Back. Let's hear it.
Okay.
it was worth. Thank you, Nate. Okay, next time I say KBOO Fights Back, hit it, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3, KBOO Fights Back. Okay.
Oh, this is a slippery slope.
Slippery slope.
Nate, can we get a toilet bowl flush?
No. You could go get drunk on this kind of power. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Wow.
Now you just need to come up with nicknames for ourselves. Althea and the something.
Yeah, actually, I think a moniker like that for you would be good. If you guys have thoughts on that, please
and the
call
roach.
In to tell the roach.
The roach.
But then what does that say about me that I'm hanging out with a roach?
What does it say about you that you asked me from literally 12 inches away, can you hear me?
We're not that close. It's for like 2 feet.
Okay.
You can also message us on the website.
That is an ungenerous 2 feet.
I'm bad with distances, actually. It's one of my few faults.
Althea and I are face to face. Our noses are pressed sideways because we're so. This room is
It's a box.
It is a box. Yeah. It's a coffin sized.
Coffin sized. Yeah. But there's two of us, and we sure are here talking.
And we're buried alive.
Yeah.
Perfect. The show today is that Althea and I have 45 minutes of oxygen in this coffin. And
and if you call, if you donate, you can. They'll give us more oxygen. Oh, wait, that's grim. Should we get into some news? What do you say?
No, I don't know. Let's just keep doing this.
It's fun. I'm having fun doing it. We got to give the people some updates.
The phone lines are closed. The There's no... You can scream all you want, but you can't affect any change.
Some things that happened this week. There's one that we're going to get into in more depth, but I wanted to kind of hit some high points. Portland City Council on Wednesday voted through the detention center impact fee, which also has like this nuisance component to try to have the private landlord who rents out to a detention facility have to incur some of the costs of, for example, of that type of work, and then also, you know, tear gassing the neighborhood.
The accessory uses like tear gassing the neighborhood, arresting mass arrests.
Mm-hmm. Police overtime, traffic remediation. So that's made its way through. City Council also approved a resolution to begin shifting the city's investment policy to divest from human rights abuses. So, and it actually became, it's interesting, it became more wide-ranging through the course of council.
Is that right?
Yeah. It wasn't just, there were, activists were kind of pushing for one version of it, which was, like, specifically divest from human rights abuses, and then it got broadened to, like, labor abuses, abuses of the consumer, or, like, whatever, all of these other things kind of, environmental abuses got looped in.
It's a dangerous precedent set for human rights when we extend it to, you know, our workplace or...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like the sound of that.
But that passed unanimously. So that, I think, goes to like a back to like a rules making process. But that's sort of setting the course for it as of Wednesday.
Is this another example of national socialist policy? I'm sorry, nationwide socialist policy.
You're sounding like Dan Ryan there. Well, I mean, Portland isn't the first city to divest from human rights abuses, specifically divesting from Israel or divesting from mega corporations that, you know, sell to Israel. Also, an interesting tidbit.
What are the other cities?
There's a whole list. I could pull it up for you. I think Portland may be one of the larger ones, I want to say.
I was going to say.
But people, you know, over the past, I mean, BDS has been around for a while, and so people have gotten, you know, their town council to pull their funds. The thing that I didn't know in researching this was that when Steve Novick was a freshman city commissioner, before councilor's commissioner, in 2014, he kind of led the charge to get the city to divest from Walmart. So he was very, he was like on board with this idea.
What?
Yeah.
Walmart?
I know.
Your local mom and pop grocer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking it up now, and it seems like they've expanded dramatically since...
This is the same Walmart. Huh. I love it being my one-stop shop, but you're saying that the city doesn't invest in it?
I'm sorry. You're saying that they've practiced labor abuses? They all seem so happy there.
A couple other things to mention before we get into the nitty-gritty one. The Coast Guard... rescue helicopter is coming back to Newport on the coast.
Hooray!
Hooray! People maybe won't die in the ocean. Yes! Sorry. I think that's a good thing. Everybody's mad at me now.
Yeah. Suddenly that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was taking a vacation in North Bend.
Yeah, why was it taken away, for people who don't know?
Just to see the rest of the coast, pretty much. It's like when you take
have all the fun.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you take the cool, it's like, you know, you have a cool helicopter, you take it on tour, people got to go up.
Yeah, you move it 30 minutes away from where people need it, because what if we put an ice facility there? That might be an interesting use of things.
From one of the most, the highest used and most dangerous ports, you know, where it's been for the last, I don't know, 100 years or so.
I think since we've probably had helicopters.
Since we've had helicopters, that's right. So 200 years. Horse-drawn helicopter.
Horse-drawn helicopter. No, I'm into that.
They moved it allegedly to make way for another great use of federal land, another thing that's definitely going to improve people's safety in Newport and bring security to the community. An ICE facility.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
And if you can't read the sarcasm the irony.
Yeah. I had my irony glasses on, but I guess that doesn't really convey well.
What is this, backwards land? Got them. So they're moving the helicopter back, but I think the feds are still sniffing around Newport trying to figure out where they can get some sort of detention facility going there. So local folks are pushing back against that and trying to keep people updated on it. But at least
fine, you can have your stupid helicopter back.
Okay,
they're saying.
So if the boat, something bad happens on a boat, you want to be able to get out of there. La, la, la.
Okay, so it seems like everyone loves helicopters now, even though
they're loud.
They're super loud, and if you stick your head into the propeller, you'll definitely die.
It's not good for you, but whatever. Sarcasm, guys. Sarcasm. Also mentioning Governor Tina Kotek running for re-election.
Kotek. I don't really have much to say about that.
I don't really
that.
Have much to say about that either. It's shaping up to be a rematch against Christine Drazen of Candy. So that we have to look forward to.
Drazen v. Kotek. These are Kotek. Strong Scrabble names. Actually, K, I think, is 1 point.
Well,
so
you don't. That's a 5. You can't use proper nouns. But if we were playing proper noun.
Not if you use.
Oregon Politico Scrabble.
my newly adopted verb, Kotekin.
Which means what exactly?
That means, you caught me on the spot.
Okay, all right. You workshop it and we can come back to it. This dead air is good, guys.
This is really good. Yeah, as I'm trying to connect it to coat check.
Coach, okay. Kotek, yeah, yeah. He's working on the pun, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're waiting for Reed to come up with that pun, I want to remind you that this is KBOO's Fight Back membership drive. Yeah. Yes! Oh, the cue was incredible. If you want to support KBOO...
We're fighting back the crowds that are trying to come into the studio and give us... Oh, sorry. I just got punched in the face for saying that. Althea just caught me.
Can you tell them where to donate, please?
Oh, you can donate. I don't actually have...
You don't know? I wrote it down for you. KBOO.fm/give.
Oh, I do have that. Wait. You can text KBOO to 44321 or send us a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214.
There's also kind of an open house situation this weekend that we can mention. I think 10 to 4 Saturday, Sunday, if you want to come down, socialize with the folks,
sniff
maybe some of your
studio
programmers that you know. And yes, come socialize, bring a check in person.
You could also just stop me on the street.
Yeah, you could just... If you see Reed riding by on his bicycle, grab the handlebars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Throw a stick into the spokes.
Yeah, perfect.
And say,
we're
I
inviting
couldn't,
that.
Couldn't help to see that you're just hanging around here and lying on the ground.
Okay. All right. Genius Box. Let's get back into it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is the nitty-gritty one that I want to spend some time on, which is about this Oregonian article on a... this lawsuit against ICE.
Oh, that
Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Against ICE.
Yeah.
And for the
meanwhile in Woodburn
dragnet that they put through Woodburn, and it really shed some light on how ICE is operating and some of their
putting human dignity and good practices in the forefront, right, Althea?
I'm looking through the article. I'm not seeing that, but maybe I need to read it more closely. No, I mean, there's some truly grim sort of minutiae in here. What jumped out at you from this article?
What jumped out at me?
Well,
I mean, I would say that everything in here is
grim,
incredibly
horrifying,
and brazen, and also in that way entirely believable given how ICE has conducted itself, as we know ICE to conduct itself. The arresting people and then writing the warrant
afterwards
is...
Which they openly admitted to, said that they do that in many cases. They're like,
don't worry.
I'm doing that all the time.
Don't worry. It's best practice at ICE. Yeah. No, it gives you a good sense of, that it's a legitimate, federal bureau that should be respected and,
yeah, Yeah, but yeah, anyway, it's specifically talking about this woman who, it's about, she's 45, she was in this van that ICE had run the plates on and ended up pulling over, and she was arrested. It wasn't until they took her to the Portland ICE facility that the supervisor wrote a warrant for her arrest. They didn't know her name. This is one of the things...
They tried to... How did they try to learn her name? Through a...
They have some sort of facial recognition app.
That should give you...
That they started taking photos of her. Taking photos of her, and it churns up a name, and they were like, is this your name? And she didn't, like, say anything. Took another photo, churned up a different name, arrested her under that name.
Yeah.
And this...
You always want to... It's like, you know, it's like the magic eight ball where you want always want to shake it a couple times and then...
Until... It's called the Mobile Fortify. And...
Of course, it's got a name like that. Mobile Fortify. They always have to have the most extreme and yeah.
It's... Yeah. But it runs the facial recognition against a database of people who've interacted with Homeland Security, and this woman had a B1 visa that she was in the country with in January.
Yeah.
So one freaked me out. Guys, we have to be more the facial recognition. And this is like a little bit of a tangent. Of course, we can't control the ways in which our faces have already been scanned. I'm going to remind everybody, because I flew with my sister over the holidays. She, even though it says that you can opt out of the face scan, I was like, oh, you shouldn't do the face scan, like after she had done it. And she was like, oh, I didn't know. Guys, opt out of the face scan when you go to the airport. Just say, I don't want to do that.
Jeff Merkley was a big proponent of opting out of that. I know he was doing like a little public PR campaign about you don't have to.
I'm just going to remind you. He's like, hey, I'm gonna skip the facial recognition. And I'll be like, okay.
And here you see the ramifications for it is that it's being used in these
The government ghoulish, probably ghoulish, yeah.
Yeah, this ghoulish software that's at the hands of the most brazen and criminal federal agents, quote unquote federal agents.
Creeps. And does the government probably have a scan on your face? Yes, if you have like an ID card, they have a photo of you. But doesn't mean you have to give them an updated version every time you go through TSA or whatever. We're not done. There's some other horrifying aspects of this. So the warrant written after the fact. The facial recognition app.
The grounds for arrest, which was that she had apparently shown up in their database and spoke Spanish, which
They said that if somebody doesn't respond to commands in English...
Mm.
That could be that they say that might be cause.
Yeah.
That and it's wild that the officers openly admitted this. As if there's any other reason why screaming at someone to see their hands when ripping them out of a car, they might not. Yeah. And
pause for seeing if that infringes on people's constitutional rights.
Yeah. So that's also disturbing. Also, they talked about an unwritten arrest quota. They had to arrest each team. Was expected to arrest 8 people a day.
Come on, folks! This crisis isn't going to make itself. We gotta arrest enough people that it seems.
And they don't have leads for 8 people a day. So the ICE officers, while they were giving their testimony in this case, were saying they had to make their own leads. They were, which is
that's
hey, making your own leads in this situation because you don't have anybody actually to legally arrest because you're writing the warrant after. Racial discrimination. Why not? Sarcasm. But that is like obviously what's happening.
Yeah, clearly. You know, ICE agents who already are acting, you know, hyper aggressively, violently, or clearly have no compunctions about violating people's constitutional rights. And now they're given just a basically free rein to arrest anyone to meet a arbitrary quota.
Yeah. And so she was, they took her to the Portland ICE facility, right? She gets about 10 minutes with a lawyer eventually until she is whisked away to the Tacoma facility. Because apparently they're making 2 runs to Tacoma a day at 1 and at 5, and they didn't want her to miss that. She's taken to Tacoma. She's released without any like charge or information that she needs to check in with ICE officers later. They release her in Tacoma without money or her phone. She ends up catching a ride back with somebody who happened to be visiting a family member there.
Again, it just gives you an idea for also how legitimate this, you know, ICE agents hold their own actions, that they, that at the end of the day they say, okay, after, you know, after this, we'll just release you with absolutely no, you know, like, again, sort of like groundless release into the abyss.
Yeah.
Like, I was telling Althea, it reminds me a lot of like the stories about extraordinary rendition outside of the United States that, you know, the U.S., let's say like the CIA would conduct on, you know, on individuals that they would characterize as potentially terrorist threats, you know, based on very, you know, loose or completely baseless grounds, like here, racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. You know, they take them to, again, you know, sort of a site, often like a, you know, a facility in a third country that's operating, that's sort of granting the United States some access to land, and they'd be just basically held without any sort of constitutional rights, like, again, in these ICE facilities, as it seems to be. They're denied, you know, access to lawyers. And then at the end, you know, if they couldn't build a quote-unquote legitimate case against them, which, you know, we see here the grounds for a legitimate case being speaking Spanish, being you show up on our database, which, you know, means that you are an immigrant.
You've attempted to legally interact with the government of the United States. Legally interact,
yeah, exactly. that if they're unable to craft a case around those incredibly flimsy lines, then they just throw you out of the car in the, you know, on the
Tacoma,
side of the road,
and
in Tacoma, and just say, see ya.
Good luck. Maybe we'll get you again.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't think they say good luck. Yeah.
No, I don't think they say good luck either. There's another part about how they were saying, like, oh, well, they were trying, the officers were saying, oh, well, they were trying to escape. And then the, you know, in cross-examination, did the woman actually try to escape? And the officer says, you don't know until she actually does escape. Hmm. But then conceded that she hadn't tried.
Okay, yeah. But the mere fact of, I think, you know, again, like by ICE grounds of rationale, the mere presence of thought means that you are potentially considering escaping.
The look behind the curtain is very interesting. There was a line in here. This is, again, the Oregonian article. I'll quote from it here. The judge said it appeared that the 9 federal officers who testified generally did so openly and candidly, providing an inside account of their work that he hadn't heard before. And while the judge said it didn't seem as if the officers acted malevolently, he added, we're dealing with a system that may very well have violated the law.
A rotten system. Yeah. I guess in this, I also don't know what the judge's grounds are for deeming these officers to not act malevolently, but I would say I've seen a lot of evidence of just clear malevolence on the part of ICE agents throughout.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that it's also institutionalized malevolence.
Right. I think that that's a good way of putting it. But you're punching through car windows and ripping people out of cars when you don't know who they are and you don't have a warrant for them, but you're doing so in good spirits and thinking that you're
good
doing
faith,
the right thing?
Right, yeah.
In good faith with what? And a bunch of, yeah, you know, none of these.
No, I think at best you can understand it as yeah, like institutionalized malevolence and thuggery, where you are
expecting
yeah, as an ICE agent expected to arrest people. But I find that hard to believe that a person in good conscience would operate under that system without revolting in some way.
Yeah.
If you are given, if any conscionable person was given those grounds, you would object. And
right.
So I think it's safe to assume. And I in our little show notes, I linked a really interesting, I don't read a lot of N+1, but there's this article about of one of their writers interviewing, going through the process of applying to be an ICE agent and interviewing applicants, and it's a very telling look at what people are trying to pursue in their ICE career. And I will say that broadly, it is not civic duty it's not why stereotypically people pursue the public sector. It is to in many cases act out violent or at least aggressive behaviors that are at home,
otherwise
in any other workplace,
yeah,
completely impermissible. Mm-hmm. And I would say that there are things that there people who wish they were at war.
There's a line here from this N+1 article. The motivating force behind American career fascism would appear to be wanderlust.
Wanderlust.
Also talking to a bunch of people who... There's some guy who said that his favorite part of the job was riding horses through the mountains in Arizona.
Okay. What? You know, there's other careers where you can ride
just
horses.
Like, so,
you can also just
reasons.
Ride yeah. a horse.
They let you.
Without having to...
The horses and the people who have the horses. Ay-ay-ay. One other thing I wanted to mention before we wrap this up is about this warrant that's written after the fact. There's also the account of the
Which,
arrest.
You know, I think is pretty
deserves
clear.
More attention. Is a big deal. Sorry. Let that stand on its own.
Definitely illegal.
Definitely horrendous, illegal in any other... Like, you'd be horrified if they were making up reasons after the fact that you were worthy of arrest. The people who wrote up the account of the arrest weren't there when it happened and described it totally inaccurately. Like, this woman was pulled from a van. The write-up said that she had a quote-unquote consensual encounter with an officer. That doesn't seem likely to me at all. I mean, it's like literally untrue.
Consensual encounter, one of those classic sort of law enforcement terms.
Yeah. So this is like filed by somebody who wasn't there. There's another officer who adds this two-paragraph block of type at the start of the report that didn't apply to this woman. This is quoting from the Oregonian article. It inaccurately said she had unlawfully entered the country and that such unlawful entries directly challenged the U.S. government's ability to protect the nation from, quote, foreign terrorists, transnational criminal organizations, and other threats to national security and public safety. The officer testified that he had received an email directing him to include those accusations for everyone arrested and taken to the Portland ICE building. And this, yeah, this like dragnet that so many people in Woodburn got arrested, which is a community that's like 60% Latino.
It's an appalling conflation of, I mean, basically just like equating immigration with terrorism at this point.
Yeah. So we should be aware of that, I guess, is the point.
Yeah.
Be aware of what's going on, and also like don't allow them to move the goalposts on. Mm-hmm. What is normal judicial, like, criminal procedure?
Yeah, you know, it's... I can't imagine that any of our listeners hold ICE agents or Department of Homeland Security in high regard. And I think this just should continue to reaffirm the fact that it is a made-up institution for a completely made-up crisis that has absolutely no merits and should just be dissolved summarily. And these
summarily.
People... 100% prosecuted for the crimes that they have openly acknowledged committing.
Quote unquote, following orders is not.
I'm sorry,
a defense.
Yeah.
For
traditionally, is not held up well in court.
No, I don't think that it has, and in the future, I don't think it will. Well, we're gonna wrap up this ICE court case illumination, I suppose. And we're going to go take a little musical break here on Genius Box. When we come back, we're going to
I've been taking
up.
A musical break this entire time.
Okay, yeah. Well,
Louis Armstrong right now in my ear.
Again, yeah, we are being confused, I would say, by what we're hearing in the headphones. But that's
not
part of the listener experience,
it doesn't
apply to them.
We can just sit here in silence as I listen to the song and then I convey it to my audience.
People love when you just describe a song and they can't hear it. But we're going to actually hear a song, and then we're going to come back and open the phone lines. We're going to be talking about Portland's newly nominated potential new city administrator. We're back here on Genius Box on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea.
And I'm John.
Okay, this is the new character that Reed is working on for the second half of the show.
I'm John.
Yeah, no, it's
or
good.
Or Ringo.
Okay. Sorry. Tone shift, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is, before we get
no,
into...
No, I'm Reed, actually.
Opening up the phone.
Sorry, I ushered those two gentlemen out of the...
Yeah. Again, it is a small box that we're in here on the Genius Box.
Yeah, Liverpool.
It's the KBOO Fights Back Fall Membership Drive. Yes! And if
that was,
you...
There was a little lag on that one.
That
was Nate punching the last living beetle.
Don't say that.
Oh, wait, no, there's two living,
I guess. There's two. If you want to support us, kbu.fm...
I don't consider drummers to be musicians.
Can you chill?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have to tell them how to donate. kbu.fm/give. Or text KBOO to 44321. You can also send us a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And we really appreciate it. We are going to be
accept Bitcoin, Klarna coin.
Does Klarna have a coin?
I don't actually know.
But give it to us anyway.
Walmart coin.
I guess you can donate stocks.
Althea coin.
Guess. Oh, yeah. Whoa, you started one behind my back? Shoot.
This was your... Okay, I'm sorry. Did you not want me to promote your coin?
I don't have a coin. Don't send that. Don't make that. Don't do anything about that. Send us real American dollars so we can keep doing radio, please. We're going to be talking...
Old-fashioned American dollars.
Old-fashioned. They don't make them like they used to. Well, they stopped making the penny. Anyway.
They're not making the penny anymore.
Portland Mayor Keith Wilson has nominated a new city administrator. His name is Raymond Lee, hailing from... Well, he's been working in Greeley, Colorado.
Yeah, I guess...
I think he maybe is from Texas, from the reading that I did. But he's...
Can we confirm?
He's potentially going to be our new city administrator, right? We've had this interim one, Michael Jordan, for like a year and a half. And there was this nationwide search. Over 100 people applied.
Michael Jordan, not to be confused with the basketball great...
Yeah.
Michael Jordan and Haynes spokesman. Michael
yeah.
Jordan.
That now would I like for him to be running the city? Yes, of course.
Okay,
I think we should be so lucky.
I think maybe Michael Jordan is famously not. I think he has like massive gambling debts. The basketball Michael Jordan, not the
interim city administrator. Anyway, with our potential new city administrator coming in, he's kind of like our new boss. He's kind of like, will we have a substitute teacher? Or you're getting a new teacher partway through the year.
Partway through the year, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can change your name, and you can be like, yeah, I'm kind of like the most popular kid in school. You catch him at the door, and you say, okay, I know everyone's going to laugh and ridicule me, but it's actually a long-running joke that we all have. Because I'm so popular, I'm able to affect this kind of...
Also, I go by Slick, so you should call me Slick.
Yeah, I go by Slick or Lefty, or whichever lefty. You prefer.
I'm kind of inventing a new character. Anyway, we want you to call in and let us know, what does our new boss, so to speak, need to know about Portland? What are sort of like the day one lessons that he ought to know about? The phone number is 503-231-8187. You can also message us on the website, kbu.fm. Click on that chat with us button, and I'll read what you have to say. We have Jeff on the line, who called in before this, so if he doesn't address it, it's okay. Hi,
Ooh,
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Who loves you, baby? That's a line from a show that was on the air every week long before you two were even thought of.
Whoa!
Before I was a glint in the milkman's eye.
The actor's name was Telly Savalas. He played Kojak, and maybe, Reed, you can make a joke between Kotek and Kojak, I'm not sure. And Kojak always said, "Who loves you, baby?" And I think even Kojak would look at the incidents in Woodburn and say, "I mean, we've got a case of testosterone poisoning here, boys." And they send him to Tacoma, right? It's interesting that the car maker, one of the car makers, has come out with a vehicle called, and I think it might be Toyota, called the Tacoma. Have you seen Tacoma? Come on, naming a car after Tacoma? And we took all these regions of the country. We got the Tahoe. We got the Sedona. We got the blah, 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 blah. Who loves you, baby? In any case, the man who was managing the affairs in Greeley, it seems he darn well better be pretty good if he was nominated to named and picked to manage the finances of a city just about 10 times the size of Greeley, Colorado. It's a college town up there north of Denver. It's got a good college radio station, by the way. But in any case, I hope that people understand that this radio station is very important in the lives of a lot of people around our community. And it's surprising, really, because I don't know that Arbitron really looks at the numbers for KBOO. They might, but it isn't important. What's important is that all of us do a little that we can. And I hope to see you all. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Sunday, probably not Sunday, but tomorrow between 10 and 4, there's an open house at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. And the zip code, for those of you writing your check right this minute, is 97214. Who loves you, baby?
Thank you so much,
Jeff. We do.
We love you. Jeff makes our lives so easy because he does the pitch for us. It's fabulous.
Yeah, we don't even have to pay him. I'm like the seven figures sums that I'm paid for each show.
Money well spent, I'm saying. Folks, if you want to call in, please, 503-231-8187.
Okay, I do have actually something in line with Kojak Kotek.
Can you tell them what to call in about really quick?
Because I'm sorry.
I want them to know.
Call in about what we would tell our new substitute teacher / new teacher / city administrator, potential new city administrator.
What do they need to know about Portland?
What do they need to know about Portland?
503-231-8187.
What's something you won't pick up in Greeley, Colorado?
Yeah.
Which, as Jeff points out, small market city.
A fifth of the size of Portland.
Fifth the size of Portland, 100,000. Now, you're swimming with a big fish over here in Portland.
Yeah, it's funny to say that Portland's the big leagues.
The
but
big
I guess,
city.
Compared to Greeley, it might be. Okay, what were you going to say, Kojak Kotek?
Oh.
The pun you were workshopping earlier.
Yeah, I have a friend who, whenever she's looking for parking on any street, she'll drive down the street. She'll go, "Kojak, Kojak, Kojak." And usually it works.
In what sense does it work?
It works in the sense of she'll find park. Wait, what do you mean?
Like, what does it do? It just that you'll find a good parking spot? Or
it marginally increases the possibility that you will find a parking spot.
Interesting. I wonder why she does
0.001%.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Maybe it just widens the eye so that you any small little opening between cars is suddenly a car-sized opening.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Okay, for you, Reed, what would you say, you know, to our new boss, our substitute teacher, or our new teacher? How do things? What's something they need to know about Portland?
You can swim in the Willamette.
You can. That's, now.
People, yeah, I feel like anyone that comes to Portland, they're like, you swim out there?
It's old school Portland people that say that.
Well, it's also old school Portland people. Yeah, that's true. It's both.
Have you been here a long time? Hey, valid. You should not have been swimming in that.
there was a very good reason
very
not
time.
To swim in it.
It's in like the past 4 years or so that we're really in the thick of it. Now, question, Althea, have you been swimming in it longer than that? Maybe. Sorry.
One might have.
Down in Selwood.
Yeah, I will also
upstream
claim
of it, but not, you know,
that
whatever.
Dubious distinction.
Thank you so much. We have Arthur on the line. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, Arthur.
Good morning, Reed. Good morning, Alicia. Hey, you can also catch salmon in the river, as long as you do it, you know, north of Portland, like the Selwood Bridge. That's probably still safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just saying. All right. So here's some advice I would give some of the principals around town. Don't give any homework. Like, if they show up for school in the first place, that's half the job, just showing up. You know, so homework out of the question. All right, now you ready for the serious stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hit us.
Okay. I got to get the effect.
Oh.
Do you want the punch?
Yeah.
Oh.
You said hit us.
Oh, okay.
I'm not leaving without that.
Okay, go ahead. Please.
Anyway, the stuff that they're doing, I'm not going to say who they are, the stuff they're doing is clearly illegal. And the local police, are they just cowards? They don't want to arrest them? I mean, it's against the law to do what they are doing. So there's a lot of shame involved in that one, okay? Point two, my white sister is here on a green card. Oh, that's two colors. Ah, damn, never thought of that. Anyway, she's making plans to leave. Like, you know. Okay, are you listening?
We are. We're still here.
Okay. Listen, I'm always strapped to my guitar.
And, this important distinction.
I wanted to clarify that. I'm going to clarify that. But as a lever, which is something you leave with, I'm going to hold the cell phone up to my electric guitar and show you what microwave radiation sounds like.
All right.
Are you ready? And then I'm going to hang up and let you guys riff on it.
All right. Everybody, brace yourselves. We'll be ready.
If I can handle it.
Was that it? No. Oh. All right.
Oh.
Thank you, Arthur. Appreciate that.
It's coming through into my head.
It's not the first time that Arthur has called into a show that I've done with a sick riff, and sometimes it just doesn't really come through the phone, so I did want everybody to be prepared for that. But again, definitely do appreciate that.
Rock and roll, Arthur.
Rock and roll. No homework. I think that's a good one.
That is a good one.
So there's not a whole lot of info out there right now about the newly nominated potential city administrator. Votes next week, by the way. I think that city council has to confirm him as the pick. But so we don't know too much about him yet. I do think it's probably a good thing that he is not part of Portland's existing bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a strong thing, of course, because, I mean, like, we reshuffled and changed our government structure just like a year and a half ago. And there's still a lot of tough things, I think, to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the old guard and the old way of doing things, like, doesn't work with the new system.
They don't like learning new tricks.
There's been some hangups with that. And so I think it could be a really good thing to have somebody who's from outside of Portland to give us maybe a fresh perspective. Maybe somebody who isn't super tied in to, like, the Business Alliance, for example.
Oh.
Could give us a new take. I don't know. I'm not promising that that's what's going to happen, but I think that, you know, we have maybe a better shot at it.
And famously, people from Colorado, they have the kinds of endurance capabilities that come from being a mile high.
Yeah. Great lung capacity.
Great lung capacity. So I'm expecting some excellent oratory skills.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing speeches. Mm-hmm. I guess city administrators are not traditionally sort of public speaking figures.
Yeah, but I mean, the current city administrator has to talk before council pretty frequently.
This is true. And we all know that those city council meetings take a long time. Lots of people stepping out.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting the city administrator to weather all storms show steely endurance in the face of bureaucratic longevity.
Bureaucratic longevity.
I also wanted to bring up some notable people from Greeley, Colorado.
So you did. Okay, so this is from where
little local flavor.
Okay, the nomination, the nominated guy Raymond Lee was just recently.
Recently working, okay. Which it's also kind of unclear how long he's worked there and how much I'm just essentializing him from maybe a job that he's only held for a couple years in one place.
Yeah,
but. Hey, what the hey?
What the hey? Let's hear it.
You're gonna take away all this in-depth research I've been doing. Greeley, Colorado, home of Delphus Carpenter, water attorney.
Is that a person?
Delphus?
sorry, that was his title.
No.
What?
Delphus is a name.
I'm confused. Is this someone I'm supposed to know?
Roy Norris, one of the two toolbox killers.
What?
Home of
God.
There was a third one that was really good. Tad Boyle, basketball head coach. These are great names.
These are great names. Wow. Maybe there'll be some good name juju in
Reed Doty. Reed Doty.
And what's his deal?
Football safety.
Oh, okay.
Anthony Dexter, Rudolph Valentino lookalike.
Lots of the stars are out in Greeley, Colorado, truly.
All the stars are here. The toolbox killer, Delphus Carpenter, water attorney.
Oh my God. Can you tell them how to call in? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You can call in with your phone.
Tell them the number.
I'm sorry. Call in to, I'm looking over, 503-231-8187. 5 is in 5,300. Okay. Or you can also go to kbu.fm/give.
Well, that's to give us money. But if you want to click on the chat with us,
you can also
send us a message.
Yeah. Well, you can give us some advice there in the form of money.
And you can also give us your thoughts on what does our new boss need to know about Portland?
Oh, yeah.
No umbrellas. We don't do that.
Okay, that was another one that I identified. Let your actions speak louder than your. I guess I was just talking about how I'm hoping he has really good oratory skills, but
yeah,
let your actions speak louder than your words. Portland, we're kind of a humble town.
Humble town, totally. Humbletown, USA.
They call us Humbleton.
Humbleton, totally. You also wrote to expect very little of our sports teams.
Yeah, that's one deep from my heart.
Don't get your hopes up, okay?
No, enjoy mediocrity.
Enjoy, yeah, true.
Revel in sporting in athletic mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
I know where you come from, Greeley, Colorado. You're probably just basking in wealths of sports accolades.
The Rockies?
Yeah, they're a famously really good team, right?
I think that remains to be seen if they will ever achieve that height. No offense, the Rockies. I'm a Mariners fan. I get it.
Woo! Yeah, sorry, Rockies, but we're home of the champions over here, Seattle Mariners. I'm sorry, I guess not champions.
No. Well, in some respect, but not the one that we really want.
Champions of our heart.
Champions of our heart. Anyway, Tawasi's on the line. Hi, Tawasi.
Hi, Tawasi.
Hey, you know, the city administrator, what they really need to know is that we need, I mean, the greater we, since I'm not back to Portland yet, but we need bike lanes and sidewalks on the east side. And also, honestly, instead of a whole bunch more like traffic cameras and this kind of technology that's like punitive against the poor, how about treating the east side the way that wealthy neighborhoods are treated and remove stop signs and try and rely more on people's common sense? That way you don't have just like justification for broken window policing over there as much. Anyway, some simple infrastructure changes that could really help Portland is just more bike lanes and sidewalks on the east side, along with less traffic regulation, because statistics show that if you heavily regulate traffic, you actually create more crime. And that's why they don't do it in wealthier neighborhoods.
Hmm. What do you think, Tawasi, about like traffic, quote unquote, calming measures? You know, when they sort of reshape the streets to make it. I mean, because yes. I feel like that screams wealthy neighborhood to me. Too. Like mm-hmm. around, you know, a nice roundabout that's like well taken care of, or when the sidewalk sort of things stick out more into the street. I forget what they call those.
Rumble strips.
Rumble strips. Better visibility.
I'm really excited about the downtown green zone, and they can just like do that to all the downtown areas where they do like other civilized societies where they fiercely limit traffic into cities and make it so there's only pedestrian and bicycle traffic with limited delivery hours, and just like treat society as it is, because we walk around and bicycle around. So put in rumble strips, put in barriers, you know, create those bike lanes, instead of it being like, here's a green patch of bike lane, don't flatten the green patch because you're so respectful, society. No, put in a raised 3-foot berm that cyclists can be on. And then when the motorists are like, hey, I know, let's flatten the cyclists, they'll have to go over a 3-foot berm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, city designers make the choice to put pedestrians and cyclists in the way of motorists. And in other societies, it's fiercely regulated, and they keep each other safe by having cement abutments and barriers between. Rumble strips aren't enough. Put like an actual jersey barrier so that the cyclists and pedestrians don't get flattened. How many people have to get flattened?
Yeah, no, it's a great point.
And then how many of those people get flattened in the east side? Mm-hmm. So more bicycle lanes, jersey barriers, and sidewalks. Very straightforward and easy. Doesn't even address like the need for storm drains and road infrastructure, because they're going to clearly neglect like all the underground pipes on the east side. But that needs to be done. That's why we have potholes on the east side, is because they allow those pipes to get collapsed. And then there's just like this huge pothole there. Instead of replacing the pipe, they're just like, eh, the constituents aren't that wealthy, so they can afford some repair to their vehicles.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a great day in Portland. I hope the potholes are full and scenic.
Thank you, Tawasi. Appreciate you. One thing that what Tawasi was saying, this is sort of a tangent, but what it reminded me of.
Yeah, well, not that that's ever been forbidden on our show.
Oh, true. So with the traffic calming and keeping, you know, more streets reserved for pedestrians and bikes, limiting like trucking hours, mm-hmm. I think is totally cool. I saw something, and this shouldn't have blown my mind. You know, when you see something and you're like, that's so obvious, I shouldn't be like energized by it. Mm-hmm. But there's this guy on TikTok who talks a lot about like urbanism and stuff like this. And, you know, he's been to Portland and stuff too, but it wasn't even about Portland what he was saying. But he was like, you know, a lot of times when you propose changing infrastructure to make it more safe, more accessible for pedestrians and cyclists, you get a lot of pushback from trucking that says, well, we won't be able to fit down that street. It's not safe. We're not going to be able to make this turn.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's
why Lombard Street is such a nightmare.
Right.
And
here's
why
the solution.
Wait a second.
Smaller trucks.
Those cute little... Okay, I was just watching a great movie last night, Cloud.
Okay.
Movie by the director of Cure.
Okay.
If anyone knows that movie. Okay, wait, I'm about to pull it up. Japanese psychological thriller, directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa. Shows a lot of those cute Japanese trucks.
Yeah, love those.
Moving trucks. A lot of moving in the movie. Very cute. Steering wheel's the wrong side, but...
I mean, we could fix that. So you keep the big trucks outside of the city, you unload the big trucks, put them mm-hmm. on small trucks, take the small trucks into the city, everybody's safe.
You have the small trucks inside the big truck, kind of like a
nesting doll. Love that. Love that idea. Very powerful stuff. Hey, before we go, we have to let you know that this is KBOO's Fight Back. Oh, thank you. Drive.
Ow!
Reed got a little bit of that one, unfortunately. We would love if you would support KBOO between now and December 31st. Consider giving us a donation if you've enjoyed content from our lovely volunteer radio producers all throughout the year. KBOO.FM/give. You can text KBOO to 44321. You can send us a check. You can also come to our open house this weekend, 10 to 4 at the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Maybe you bring us a check. Maybe you bring your good vibes and your desire to talk to other KBOO listeners and programmers.
And you get to meet Althea in the KBOO radio mascot uniform.
Yep.
KB. The talking radio wave.
I am the truck that's covered in fur. And that'll be good. No, I mean, maybe we'll see you there. We'll see. But I think it'll be good vibes. So everybody is, of course, invited.
The vibes will be good.
Let's get one more punch for the road, if we could.
That's me punching Althea for all the punch. Yeah. Okay, now Althea punches me. Ow!
Okay, we're even. And that's,
okay, now we're
and
punching the- Nate.
One more hit for Nate. Thank you, our engineer. Thank you to everybody who called. Thank you to everybody who listened. Thank you for everybody who is fighting back.
Listening to KBOO Portland.